You might be on now, so you can tell them things, tell them how often to change their oil.
We're going to get to that.
I think we're on because my phone is telling me.
Live. Oh. You are now live.
Hi, folks. I am not Charlie. Charlie's sick.
Charlie shaved his beard.
If you believe that, I got property to sell you, waterfront out here. Anyway, we're going to open. Are you ready, Jim?
I am.
With reading Psalms chapter 1.
Okay. Psalm 1.
Psalms 1, yes.
There we go. Okay. Psalm 1. I have Asher written here. Would there be a reason why I would have Asher?
I don't know.
Okay. Charlie, we're here, you tell me. But anyhow, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
I'll read that again, so everybody.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prosper. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Now, the wicked are going to stand in the judgment, but that's bad judgment.
Right.
The bema seat for the believers, that's what he's talking about here. All right, let's pray. Last time I was so flabbergasted that I forgot to pray. So let's do it. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of looking into your word, and we ask that you would make these things real, and you would get honor and glory from what we study and what we say. And we pray for Charlie that he would be better and be up to be able to teach and preach this Sunday. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is a lesson on defining Christian or defining characteristic traits, not Christian traits, characteristics traits. Now, what is your character?
Good.
Yeah? Well, how would you describe the term character?
What people see.
All right. Well, you can answer too. Anybody. I to me, it's what I am when you're watching.
Right.
That's even better. I like that.
Yeah. No,
I was talking about my alter ego when I said that. No, if you're talking about my ego, yes, that was what I am.
All right. We've got Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start there, and we'll go on to a few things here in Genesis, and then we'll get our servicing in Psalms 139 a little later, and I got Hebrews 2. That's not Hebrews 2. It's Hebrews 11. Why did I put 2?
Well, 1 plus 1 equals 2.
Well, it is Hebrews 11. You have to erase it out and put 11 on there for folks. If you
right now?
Yeah, do that. If I get up, then the camera's going to be upset at me.
1 plus 1 equals 11.
Okay. Adam was the first what?
First being.
Three letters, starts with an M and ends with an M. He was the first man.
Right.
All right. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Okay? Whom the Lord formed is not the man name is not that the Lord formed is not mentioned until chapter 3, verse 17. Okay. Yeah, all the way up to that time, the man is called the man. And what was his partner? Woman. She's called woman also. All right? But in 3:17, then to Adam he said, and that's the Lord God talking to him, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, up to that time he was called a man. But now he says Adam. So we know he named him Adam. And then what happened likewise, Eve in Genesis 2:18 said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet or a help somebody suitable for him. So the Lord became an anesthesiologist. Then he became an obstetrician and a whatever else you want to describe. He formed, he fashioned Eve from what?
A
rib from Adam. I just would love to see that. You know, maybe she had a, like Leah, her eyes was a little drooping, but he fixed them. Eve was perfect, people. She was perfect. God fashioned her. Don't you like to be in fashion? Ladies, you do like to be in fashion. You wouldn't have liked to walk through the wilderness. They didn't have a new pair of shoes for 40 years. Do you realize that? Women, I don't know how they made it. 40 years since their shoes didn't wear out. Okay, he closed up at this place, and he brought her to the man. And man said, now, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is in chapter 2, right? And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, man's going to leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. Man and wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Married man to the married woman, they can enjoy each other's nakedness, but to the rest of it, we should cover up when we're before somebody else. But for man and wife, it's all right. All right? I probably get in trouble for saying that to some people, but... Well, people like to hedge on what God has said. You know, I know better. You know, it's not going to hurt if I do this or that. Who didn't cover up and got in trouble who was a king?
David.
Yeah.
And Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. They showed too much skin. You realize that? Yeah. Sergio, we're going to put it up here now.
Not the skin.
So what do you see?
Two dots.
What else do you see? Anything?
Eyes.
No, they're not eyes. They're David's sin. What was the sin that you remember right off?
From David.
Adultery.
What?
Adultery.
Yeah, with who?
Bathsheba.
What else did he do that was really bad?
Murder.
Well, yeah, but he didn't get in trouble for that as bad. He lost his son, Bathsheba,
right,
from that. But he numbered. He counted. And Joab didn't complete the thing. But he was going to rely on his own physical numbers instead of relying on the Lord. So that was bad in the Lord's sight. And he got reprimanded for that. So, we'll use this again, and we'll see if you remember what it was all about.
Okay.
All right. Page 2, Sergio. And I already said that she was a beautiful woman. And in Genesis 1:1, and God started the creation, and in verse 31 of chapter 1, he said it was what? What? No, he didn't say it was good. He said it was...
Very good.
Very good. Exactly, Lindy. He said it was very good. So when he looked at Eve, she was very good. And he said this in verse 31. So it included Adam and Eve. All that he made was very good. There wasn't nothing wrong with them. But that little squirrely thing come along later, okay? Now, Genesis 1:26, the Lord is going to prepare a salad for us. Have you ever seen the salads? There's lots of salads we're going to cover here in a minute. But he's preparing a salad, and God said, a lettuce salad, let us make man in our image. So he's doing that. In Hebrews, which means that Hebrews, and you say, oh, she does that too? Shame on you, Jim, for letting her have to do that.
Brewing?
Yeah, you should do the brewing. Hebrews. All right. That's enough of that, okay? She's up there or over there in the other wing or upstairs, preparing herself for the day, getting all prettied up for when she comes down and you've got the coffee ready.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So let's go to Hebrews Well, let's go to Psalms 139 first, okay? Before we go to Hebrews. You take your car in. Used to it was like a 10,000 mile,
check-up.
And now it's a 100,000 miles or something for you, and you get a what?
Tune-up.
A tune-up or a checkup, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 139, verse 23. Okay? You want to read that, Carol? You got it?
129.
We can't wait on you. You got it? It is 139. Excuse me. 139, 23 and 24. All right, go.
Okay, 139.
23.
Probe me, God, know my heart. Try me, know my concern. See if my way is crooked, then lead me in the ancient path.
Okay. It's our spiritual servicing. Inspect, test, adjust. He wants, search me thoroughly. My Bible read, search me thoroughly, O God. That is the Amplified, I'm pretty sure. And know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And you put that service charge on your grace card. He'll cover it. All right? He'll do that. Hebrews 4, verse 1. And we're going to have more salad. Got it?
Yep.
Therefore, you read the first one. Joanne? Therefore?
Therefore, since...
Yeah, verse 1.
Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short.
Now, he's giving us more salad there. See, let us, okay, let us fear while the promise remains. Have you ever stumbled in your life since you were accepted the Lord?
Sure.
And what do we do? Do we give up?
Yeah.
No. We get up and get going, you know, that's what he wants us to do, get up going. So 2 Timothy 2:19, I said there's going to be some others in there. 2 Timothy, you got it. What did I say? 2 Timothy 2:19 and verse 21 also. You got it again? Hit it.
Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone change the name of Christ apart from iniquity. Go on.
That's it. Now, therefore, if anyone... Oh, go ahead, yes, yes.
But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wool and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel sanctified and for the master, prepared for every good work.
That's it. Now, what are we to do? We are... to cleanse ourselves. And how are we clean? John 15:3. Is it 15 or 17:3? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It's either 17 or 15:3. It's one of the two. Anyway. So, remember, we've been in for the tune-up and adjusting and servicing. Now he wants us to be useful to him. So, Hebrews 6:1. We're going to get another piece of salad, okay? 6:1 of Hebrews.
I got it.
Therefore.
Go, Jim. Jim's going to read this one.
Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying, again, the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of the faith in God, instructions about baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection, the dead, and eternal judgment. God, and God permitting, we will do so.
He read two verses there, didn't he?
I did. I went
three.
He did.
I did.
Shame on you, Jim. What's the key in there in 6:1? What did you read in there? Those two words.
Unto maturity.
What? I saw your lips move.
Let us press on.
Let us press on. You know, we got something we got to do. You know, Somebody said last night that, you know, they started out 2017 really good, having morning devotions and having their coffee and everything. And toward the end of the year, just sort of, you know, they didn't do it as much. And this person said, I want to get back in and be like this all year this year. Press on. You know, that reminds me of being in the gym. Paul mentioned, now I think Paul wrote Hebrews, by the way. And when we get to heaven, I can be corrected. But anyway, press on. He uses so many military and Olympic terms there, and pressing. It's like these guys pressing the weights and doing all this stuff. He said, press on. So it's not just come easy to us. We have to apply ourselves. So it's press on to maturity. Some are not growing, so they needed encouragement. And who was the guy that was the partner of Paul? His name was?
Timothy.
Another guy. Barnabas. And Barnabas means encourager. So people need encouragement. So, you know, God gave gifts to the church. He gave gifts to people and people to the church, or vice versa. And that's what we're to do, to encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to help and encourage other people with this. So he wants to use us as encouragement. What I was getting at, gifts, we could have more than one gift. You know, we could be an encourager. We could be whoever cleans the windows, whoever does whatever at the church, whoever just is there and make sure the doors are open. Make sure that there's enough money for the... Hello there. I think that must be Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You got your Bible with you?
Yes.
Okay, good. We're in Hebrews right now in chapter 1 and verse 1. Okay, we're pressing on. But we're gonna jump from Hebrews 6 to Hebrews 10. And you got to put that tea away so you can get them scriptures real quick over there, kiddo.
I'm over here.
You got 10? Okay, 22A through 24.
Hebrews 10, 22.
22A, the A part.
Just let you know while you're looking for that, give me buy some time. Do you know how many times let us is mentioned in the Bible?
I have no idea.
160 times.
Okay.
Just to let you know.
He looked it up.
Sorry.
Susan.
I'm a vegetarian.
All right. Laura?
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed.
What about 23?
Let us hold fast.
Yes, go ahead. Read it.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for his faithful promise.
And 24.
And let us consider one another to hold on to hope.
See, he had one of these salad bars here. We got three lettuces right there in a row. You know, let us consider. Okay, let us hold fast. Let us draw near. He's serving us up good stuff. And is it five or six of Hebrews talks about that these people aren't ready for anything but milk? They can't take the meat yet. So he's getting us all ready so we can eat meaty stuff here. Anyway. Okay, Titus 2, 11 and 12 tells us help about this lettuce. Titus, which is right before Hebrews. If you're in Hebrews, just turn back a book.
Titus
2, 11 through 13. Do you like to read?
In German?
No!
Yeah.
In tongues.
Yeah. No, interpret them.
No.
If you'd like to read it.
It's just in German.
It's in German?
Yeah, it's just in German.
Okay, so I've got it.
All right.
In Gaelic here. So,
in Gaelic?
11 through what?
11 through 13.
There we go. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, uprightly, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of your great God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Two or three things in there that I like my reading better than that. That's NIV?
This is NIV.
It is NIV. Okay. The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Bringing salvation to all men, I've got highlighted, really, because he died for every man, not just a select few. Instructing us to divine and godly and worldly desires to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope. I tell people to look at the clouds, because is he going to come? Says I'm going to come back on the cloud. You know, I said, look at the clouds at the time zone and the swing in the backyard, and that cloud there might have Jesus on it, you know? He's going to come on the cloud and call us, and we're going to go up.
No, it's going to be a humble, unannounced appearance. I think it's going to be rather spectacular.
Oh, it's going to be for the believers. Then the next one is every eye is going to behold him when he comes back for everything.
He's out there with his binoculars.
I know it is.
Hello. Okay. Now that we've
seen you since last year.
Now that we've learned to draw near or abide in him, John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and without
me
you can do nothing. Yes. Okay. He says if we do this, we can bear much fruit. In 15:8, he says that if we get up close to him. How many times have you sat on that side of the room at your house and Jim on this side and you hugged?
That far apart?
Yeah.
That's kind of impossible.
That's probably impossible. So he wants us to get up real close, abide, draw near. You know? You can't hug across the room.
Right.
You got to get up close to him. And he wants us up close to him. He wants our love, people. He wants to be glorified through our life. But he wants us. Tell him you love him. Anyway, that's... We can stimulate one another to love.
Did you read Charlie's devotional today?
I did, but I can't remember now.
The gist of it was basically how much time we spend.
Yes.
Right. And it's funny, even if you are focused on spending time in the Word, in prayer, and stuff like that, you still put it next to, like, the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not
it. Yeah.
And the only thing I could draw from that is that God does want us to live for him. So it's like, you know, if you're, I think just getting into it a lot is always like putting training wheels in your head.
That's why I want you to read Psalms 1.
Right.
On his word I meditate day and night. You know, we can bring up what we read this morning no matter what we're doing. If you're sweeping the floor or walking the dog or whatever you're doing, just sitting there relaxing, you know, bring it up. You know? Mm-hmm. I really like what I read. Sometimes I have to read it again. I say, what did I read an hour ago? You know? So, you go back, what I read.
Repetition is good.
Yes, you just have to do that. So he wants us to stimulate. He wants us to draw near, to press on, to be free of fear that we're a failure. Without him, we are a failure. But with his power, we can do it. Press on to maturity. All for God's glory. All for his glory. If we're doing it, shine. You know, I can shine before you. Don't look at me. You've got to look at him. You have to look at him. 12. Hebrews 12. 1 and 2. Therefore. You got a Bible? Okay, good. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Are you up for this, Nicole? Loud?
Taking notes.
Oh, you're taking notes.
Susan? I'm a taker.
You got it?
Therefore, seeing we also are passed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside
everything. Let us? Did it say let us?
Mm-hmm. We're going to let us kick.
Okay, let us.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
All right, you're in 12. Flip over to 13 and read verse 15.
I can't.
Oh, you can't do that. Okay.
It doesn't give me chapter.
There we go.
Jim's got it. 13:15.
Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually.
What was that?
Let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess His name.
Confess His name. You want to read the 20 and 21, Joanne?
21.
Yes, ma'am. Of 13.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing His will. May He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever.
Now, you said it's pleasing to Him. Mine has in His sight. I was just amazed as I was reading through the kings, in particular of all the kings of Israel, and it says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you go to the next bird that comes along, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Out of about 10, one guy, you know, he did what was right in God's eyes. He did it in God's eyes. He doesn't want us to do evil. He wants us to do good. So, to equip you with every good thing to do His will. To do His will. He wants that for us. Now, when you go to Chili's or Applebee's, or you stop at Publix or whatever and buy that salad that's got the chicken or the turkey or the pork on there, and you're sitting there, you can smile and think about, you know, what this is. Let us smile about what we just read about all this lettuce. And they'll say, what are you smiling about? And you're going to be ready with 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter, I'm going to get you a copy, Nicole. I've got 12 copies of this.
Yeah, I need one.
Yeah. You got the first, who's got 1 Peter 3:15? Linda?
And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?
Wait a minute. Did I put first and then second?
You probably did.
What is first? Oh, 1 Peter 3?
Yeah, 3. Did I say something different?
I might have said something different.
He's only 1 Peter 3:13. You want 1 Peter
3:15.
Oh, right. I got it right here.
If your heart says...
Go, Linda.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and
fear. Gentleness and reverence, my dad. I like. How does yours read? She's got
the
NIV.
I've got the same one.
You've got the same one? Yeah. Sanctify him. Set him apart in your heart. They're setting you, looking there, and you're smiling while you're eating your salad. But what makes you smile? I'm glad you asked. You know, I know the Lord. Okay. Back through Genesis, through Hebrews 11, in the Hall of Fame. We're going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11, Hall of Faith, okay?
He wanted to see if you were listening.
Here is 11. Look at those pretty ones up there.
Well,
Hebrews 11. We start off with, what was that first man's name?
Adam,
but do you see him here in Hebrews 1? We don't start with Adam. Now, I don't know why. I know Adam did a nasty thing there and listened to his wife. But anyway, he's not.
That'll get you in trouble.
That'll get me in trouble. Hall of Faith. We visit. Who's the guy we visit first?
Hall of Fame and, well, Adam. And then
who's the first man that's mentioned there?
In this?
Yeah, right there. What is it?
Hebrews 11?
Yeah, it's in verse 4.
Abel.
Abel
was a prophet.
What happened to Abel?
Died.
His brother didn't like him, did he? So he, okay. So we're going to visit him. He offered a better sacrifice than Cain because he did it through faith. Through faith, okay? He did it through faith. He had the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his, what does it read in yours? His what?
His offering.
What, yes. Sacrifice. Yes.
Is there a plural on your word?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I read after probably at least 12 or maybe more, and nobody addresses this plural. So I think that this wasn't a one-time deal that they came, you know, that this was a repeat action. Now, I've got in my notes here, help Charlie. I need his insight on this. I don't know. I just couldn't figure why nobody mentioned about the plural, whether it was the offerings or the gifts. You know, why would the plural be in there if it was a one-time occurrence? I don't know.
You're talking about when God spoke well of his offerings?
Offerings, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine says gifts, but whatever it is. Now, he's dead, but he's still speaking. J. Vernon McGee is on the radio still, and J. Vernon's been dead for probably close to 15 years now, but he being dead yet speaketh. You know, you listen to him. You listen to, what was that guy, Adrian Rogers up in Tennessee. He's on, and he's still speaking, you know. Mm-hmm. Books. I was just reading about some of the older preachers, you know, and the guy was just telling about them, and I sort of faded out after three, you know. It wasn't what they were preaching, it was about their life, and I really didn't care. But anyway, they were good gifts. Okay. We read in 4:16. What we read in 4:16 of Genesis.
Oh, Genesis 4:16.
Believe. Yes, yes. 4:16 of Genesis. Yeah, you need to put a plug in your 4:16.
Cain went out from the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
And dwelt in the land of Nod.
Yeah.
On the east of Eden.
Now, there's two or three things there. Where did Adam and Eve go when they left? What direction did they go?
East.
They went east. Anytime they go east is bad.
Yep.
Yeah. They went east. All right? Going east. He drove them out, expelled them from the garden. And then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. Don't you like to be in his presence, not away from his presence? Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. How sad, how sad. The word presence brings a chilly reminder of the white throne judgment seat in Revelation 20. In verse 11, Revelation 20. You got one of them. Put this to go real quick. I could read it, but I want you to.
Revelation
20:11. Then I saw.
Okay. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for
it. Anybody else have presence in there instead of face? Mine read presence, so that's how I linked that up. Mm-hmm. No place was found for they went away from the God's presence. Mm-hmm. That's the saddest picture of all. Now go back to Genesis chapter 5. Chapter 5, Genesis 22 and 24. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Give me 22 and 20 through 24.
That Enoch walked with God after this yet? Methuselah? 300 years?
Yeah.
To get sons and daughters? And all the days of Enoch were 360 and a half years.
And the next one?
Enoch walked with God. And he was not, God took him.
Enoch walked with God. That's what I want you to get. The little girl said Enoch went out for a walk with God, and they were walking along, and God said to her, says, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come on home with me? That's how she explained the Sunday school lesson about Enoch walk with God to her mommy. I like that. Anyway. So all his days, okay? 6:8 of Genesis.
Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
All right. And 6:8, and how about 9 too?
This is the account of Noah.
Keeps going.
Gone? Oh, yeah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless, and he walked with God.
That's it. He walked with God. He tells us double. You know, in the New Testament, he says, what are those words he says? Verily, verily, or truly, truly. You know, it's an emphasis. He wants you to pick up your pace, and he's walking with you. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was righteous. Did that mean he was sinless?
Yeah.
No.
Who else do you remember in Luke chapter 1 that was blameless before God? Two people. John the Baptist's mommy and daddy. And?
Mary.
Zacharias, that's it. They says they were blameless in God's eyes. Now, what did that mean? They did everything to the best of their ability of what God had commanded them. Not that they were sinless. They were blameless.
If they were alive, they had.
I know, but they were blameless. Paul said that he was blameless to obey, or he had obeyed the law. He says, into the law, it's blameless. Do I have that? Oh, I don't. Do I? No. So, Paul said, to the righteousness which is in the law, I found blameless. Now, how are we blameless today? How are we righteous? First Corinthians 1:30, huh?
In Christ.
Okay, 1:30 of First Corinthians.
There's 1 Corinthians 30?
1:30.
One Corinthians 1:30.
You got it there, kiddo?
No, I don't.
Huh?
1 Corinthians.
Say who?
1 Corinthians.
Yes, chapter 1, verse 30.
Of 30.
Or of him you are made unto you. Go. Got it?
Yeah.
Read it.
But of him you are in Christ Jesus. He came for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Okay, now we become righteous in God. In his eyes we are righteous because we are in Christ, as Jim said. All of our righteousness is in him, not our own righteousness. Isaiah said our righteousness is as filthy rags before him. So it's not our righteousness, it is imputed righteousness. There's that term again, your bookkeeping term.
You're right. Check all of this bookkeeping.
Yeah.
It is crazy how sin is counted or or forgiven.
All right. You were getting tuned up here. What did I do with my... Give me my book back here, kiddo. 425. Get your hymnals there.
Hymnals. Okay.
Hymnals. You want
425, verse, chapter, or chapter.
What are you talking
425. About? Song 425.
Oh,
wait just a minute.
You got,
Nicole, you got a book there?
Yep. What is it?
425. You ready?
In the garden.
Okay, we're going to sing along with this guy that Jim's got music for you.
She said, I'm singing?
You're singing.
She goes, I'm not coming back. What are you talking about? Where is it? 425.
Oh, 425. Now I'm fucking, what book and what girl? It's like I can get lettuce, you know?
Okay. Hit her, Jim.
Okay. You want it?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just make sure it's on. So I got it. We're probably going to be sued by YouTube because we're playing music.
Oh, we are playing music?
Yes.
Why not? Live life on the edge here.
Oh, you people out there, it's in the garden. You can look it up on your phones. Okay?
They all have different translations.
Yeah.
Chapter 4, verse 25.
Here we go. He sings a little slow here. Charlie. Daniel. Let's go to Genesis 12, one of my favorite people. You know, I just thought after I had all this done that I left Moses out. Maybe we'll get Moses another time.
Okay.
But we'll go to Genesis 12.
Abram.
All right, and 1 and 2. Who's going to read 1, 2, 3? Ready? Everybody start. Okay, go, Carol.
Genesis chapter 12, 1 and 2.
Real loud now.
1, 2, 3. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you.
Amazing thing to me is verse 4. What did he do? Abraham went forth. He got up and went. Now, he said, don't get in touch with AAA. There's no map that's going to show you where to go. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 I wills. I will do this for you, Abraham. I'm going to bless you. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. I'll make you a blessing to everybody. And everybody that blesses you, I'm going to bless. If they don't, I'm going to curse them.
That's not what I will.
Huh?
I will curse.
Yes, 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 he did. Okay. Blessing. These three verses are known as the what? Some covenant.
Oh, Abrahamic.
Abrahamic. Abrahamic covenant. Okay. Now you put that down in your ticker.
Oh.
Okay.
Is it Abrahamic or Abrahamic?
Abrahamic. A-B-R-A-H-A-M-I-C. Yes, that was it. There was a Davidic covenant. There's a Noahic covenant. I'll mess up if I try to go more covenants. But anyway, he says, I'm going to do this. We had a Jewish neighbor right straight across the street from us. And I was over talking to Sharon one day. And she says, well, I won't tell you his name. Anyway, one of her boys was being harassed on the school bus. And I said, really? And she said, yes. And I said, what would you tell me who this is, and I'd go see the parents and the student who's doing this. And she looked at me, she says, why are you interested or concerned about what happens to my boy? And I says, because they're disobeying God's covenant blessing. And she says, what kind of covenant? I said, the Abrahamic covenant. Is that in the Bible? And I says, even in your Hebrew Bible, 12:1, it reads exactly the same. When you go in the house, you read that. Jewish people don't know their Bible spoke.
No, no.
They don't know. She had no idea.
Right.
You're assuming Christians do, too.
Yeah. The Jewish people do not know the Bible because the rabbis will teach them.
No.
Muslim religion do not know the Quran because the imams will teach them. Catholic Church, priests will teach.
Now, Abraham took off and told him to what? To go away from his
kinfolks.
Now, Abraham obeyed almost 100%, but he took along, what was that rascal? Lot. Now, Lot was a rascal. And if we just knew from Genesis, you would think he was a S-I-N-N-E-R, wouldn't you, Dwight?
He was alive, wasn't he?
He was a sinner. But if you go over to 2 Peter 2:7,
the prophet.
Who?
I think Lot has referred to somewhere else.
Oh, Lot was not a prophet. No, he was not.
I think that's in here because I was astounded. So I love that one.
2 Peter 2:7. You can go to 2 Peter 2:7 and we'll see.
2
Peter 2:7. God rescued.
Delivered just Lot, vexed with the
filthy conversation. He rescued him. He was a sad character trait. Okay. God said that he looked down upon Sodom and all, and their sin was great. It was coming up to heaven, and he came down to take a look. And they destroyed it there, and they had to lead Lot out of there. Mm-hmm. Where was Lot when the angels came down there? Where was Lot?
He
was at the gate. What does the gate mean? The downtown at Ringling?
The city.
That was the courthouse.
Oh.
The gate was the courthouse. That's where Boaz went and to get Ruth, and he took the shoe off of that guy at the city gate. Everything was done at the city gate. That was their courthouse. Mm-hmm. All right.
Can we explain Lot turning his daughters over to these homosexuals.
Well, they were perverts, that's for
they
sure.
Were perverts and,
he lived among them, and he said he vexed his righteous soul, as the Lord read, going on every day. 15:6 of Genesis. Oh, 15:6 of Genesis. 15:6. You got that. You're going to remember this forever, right?
Mm-hmm. I haven't.
Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Abraham believed the Lord. This is the first instance of belief in the Bible. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. It all goes back to what Abraham did there. He believed God. We're children of Abraham by faith. That's his faith, believing. When we say without faith it's impossible to please God, it's believing Him. Faith is believing God, taking Him at His word. That's what faith is. All right. He rescued that bird. So Abraham gets an A plus.
Mm-hmm.
He gets an A plus. Ho ho. Chapter 17. After chapter 17 of Genesis,
okay.
He gets a, what kind of a change comes about in chapter 17? Do you know?
Circumcised.
Okay, that's later in chapter 17. What's the first thing? He gets a name change.
Oh, Abraham.
He gets a change from Abram to Abraham. That means father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
See? You'll have to listen to McGee. Dial up McGee on that. He has it so good. He said all these travelers there, they come and ask him, where's your kids? Oh, they're coming. And then he comes back to a father of Manasseh. Where's the first kid? He said, God's going to be faithful. But he said all these people around didn't believe it. But they did believe it when Isaac appeared, you know. So he does good. The land of Canaan was promised to him. And to his seed or his descendants in chapter 17 for a temporary possession until the Arabs took over, right? What's it say?
Forever.
Everlasting possession. Everlasting possession. The promise of Isaac to be born, and her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. Sarai was doubtful, and Sarah means princess. Come here, princess. You like that? Very important to the Jews was the covenant of
Abraham.
17. You just mentioned it to start with.
Circumcision.
I was cutting it off. Oh. Chapter 18, verse 10, the birth of Isaac is promised, and Sarah is over there in her tent, and she is
listening.
No, she's more than listening. I see what you were doing. What were you doing?
She's laughing.
Laughing. She's laughing. God says, why did she laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. You do it over here. Okay. 21, what happens in 21? Chapter 21, the birth of?
Chapter 21.
That's
Isaac.
Birth of Isaac. And Abraham is a young buck. He is what?
100.
I like that. She's been reading. He was 100. Okay. 22 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Abraham is put to the test. Oh. Then he is strengthened by it in verse 5, and God has proven faithful to him in verse 12. Through Abraham's obedience and offering Isaac as a burnt offering, he considered that God is able to raise up people even from the dead and to receive him back as a type.
Mm-hmm.
You got your stop in there. You got to go to Hebrews now. Okay. You're supposed to have your things in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:19. Joanne?
Let's see where. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from.
Okay. And the name for the Lord and 22 of Genesis, 22:14.
Lord will provide.
The Lord will provide. How did that come about? Abraham and Isaac was going up the mountain, had the wood, had the fire, had the knife. And Isaac says, Dad, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? God will provide. And he did. God will provide. Let's see here. New name. And the Lord reaffirms his oath to Abraham there in chapter 22 and 14 also. Now think of this. This isn't scripture. This is me. I'm reading between the lines. Okay? 3 days. He says, I want you to go to Mount Moriah and take Isaac. Now he says, selects what kind of man to go with him?
Servant.
They were servants, but what it describes them. They're, I say, about 25. Young men. Why did he select a young man? He says he took servants, young men. Just a minute.
I mean, I see where they said two servants.
Two of his servants and his son Isaac.
22. Just a minute. Take your son, your only son, and it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two young men. Verse 3.
Oh, mine just says servant.
Servants.
Took two young men. I heard somebody say that the older men wouldn't have let Abraham do what he was going to do. They would have known what he was going to do, taking him up there. You know, so he took the young men. Besides, they were companions with Isaac. The 3 days going up there was a sad, sad time. For 3 days, he killed Isaac. In his mind, he was going to obey the Lord. He was going to kill him. And he's going up. And I just can visualize it, you know, around the campfire night. He would stay far away from Isaac. Go over and talk to Abner and Jeff, okay, whatever those guys' names were. You know, go talk with them. He was just sad. So they go up there. 3 days. He could hardly look. And despair filled his thoughts. Each day up to Mount Moriah. So, killed him in his mind. The Lord intervenes, and he calls. What did Abraham do when he called?
Oh, I'm here.
Can't you just see him jumping up and down, waving the flag? I'm here, Lord.
Yeah.
Now, who's laying there and hears all of this?
Isaac.
Now, I believe, that's me, that Isaac is in his 30s, early 30s, not a young trooper. He could have overpowered Abraham had he wanted. He submitted. Isaac is a type of Christ in submitting to death. Okay? But I don't read this, okay? So if you don't want to believe it, you don't have to believe it. But I just believe he was pretty near the age of Christ when he was killed on the cross. So, he says, don't kill him. Don't kill him. And I'm sure that knife flicked those ropes, cut those ropes. Off.
He didn't say anything about ropes.
He's tied him, the jumpy dude. He's hold on.
Bound his son Isaac.
There he bound him. Yeah. So whatever he bound him with, he cut him loose. So the knife didn't fall on Isaac. He was a type of who, but who didn't have the knife to be dispelled, took our place. God sacrificed his son, 1 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He faced death for us, for me. Okay? So, they come back down the hill, and the birds that's down there, what do I call them? Abner and Cedric or whatever those two guys were. Here comes Isaac Isaac and Abraham down, laughing and jumping and hugging and praising the Lord. It's not in your Bible, but don't you know he did?
Yeah.
Right. Did you ever go to have your little kid in the ER or in the, you know, everything's all right? Oh, that's good.
Do you think Sarah knew that he was going off to do that?
I don't know whether she did or not. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The rock of Abraham is the rock under the dome of the rock.
Yes.
Okay.
That's Moriah.
Right.
Yes.
And I don't think that well known. Maybe among the Muslims, but anyhow.
That's the place that David bought sacrifice on. Back there from Aranono, or you'll have to look that up, but it was something with an A, and the guy says that, you know, here's the oxen and all the contraption, and you can have the sacrifice here, and you can just have this, and David says, I won't offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I won't offer it, which costs, it cost God his son to save us, but he didn't withhold that night. So, the 3 days coming home was so much different than the 3 days going. At the campfire of the night, I can assure that Abraham was hugging on him, maybe even smooching on his back or wherever men kissed him, you know. It was such a time of rejoicing. And they get home, and Abraham hears what? About his brother.
Done.
No. His brother, okay? In
Isaac's brother.
After arriving back home, Abraham learns that Milcah, M-I-L-C-A-H, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, had bore children, and one of them is named Bethuel. Now, who was Bethuel?
Oh, I don't know.
His daughter. What?
Father of Rebekah.
Father of Rebekah. Who was Rebekah? Isaac's wife. God set these things in motion. He says, oh, you're going to have a daughter-in-law here, you know. Why did he put this in there? He set things in motion. What's that, 24:15? Let me see what that says. Oh, the servant goes over there to Bethuel, and he says, and he's praying about somebody coming. Mm-hmm. And he said, before I had done speaking, here she came. Rebecca. And she's a runner. She wears gym shoes. And said she hustled and fed all the stock, runs up to the house, runs back. Every time you see her, she's running. She had been to what's the gym up here called? Anyway, whatever those health fitness places. She was a member there. All right. Now, the Lord is gracious both to Isaac and to Jacob in Hebrews 11. He doesn't mention any of their failures. He just says they blessed their sons. You ever notice that? If you'll read Chronicles comments on Samuel and Kings, and you get the Lord's view in Chronicles, he leaves out a lot of all that ugly stuff that you read about in Kings and Samuel. Check it out. No, that's your mission to read. 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. This evening before you go to bed. Anyway.
Right.
It was chapter 37. Who is in chapter 37 of Genesis? Starts with a J and ends with an H.
Joseph.
He is a great character. So, at age 17, he stole to the
Midianites.
How many?
I don't.
You do. What?
Wait, he sold what? David?
He was sold to.
He was sold
to the Midianites.
Midianites or the, they call them, what else?
Ishmaelites.
Okay.
Ishmaelites.
Okay.
Which would be?
Ishmaelites was from Ishmael. Ishmaelites were from Ishmael. Ishmael 15 and chapter 16, 15 and 16 tells that Ishmael had these things. The Midianites was from the land of Midian, where the Ishmaelites lived. Okay, so they're the same people. Ishmaelites and Midianites are the same people.
The Midianites and the Ishmaelites are the same.
Same people. Okay. Yes, they're the same. So, Joseph's brothers received how much money to sell him? 20 shekels. Who was sold for 30?
Jesus
was sold for 30. All right.
Pieces of silver.
Yeah, pieces of silver. The Midianites sold Joseph to the FBI in Egypt. Mr. Potiphar, he was the officer and the captain of the bodyguard of Pharaoh. He goes down to Potiphar's house. And Mrs. Potiphar, such a nice woman as she was, she tried to get Joseph to come in the house and go to bed with me. And Joseph fled. But he's accused of rape. And he gets put in jail. Now, Mr. Potiphar didn't believe her totally. If he had, he would have swung Joseph on the gallows.
Yeah.
Because remember those two guys that were the servants? Yeah. One of them got released, the other one swung on the gallows. Mm-hmm. The birds pecked out their eyes. Yeah. Okay? So he didn't believe him. They had that dream, these two servants of Pharaoh. And they dreamed, and Joseph interpreted for them. And the guy that got released was the cupbearer. Okay? And he says, I'll remember you. And Joseph told him, remember me now when you go up there. How long did he suffer in prison?
Years.
How many?
Years, I don't know.
2 years. 2 years he was there. And then God intervened and God gave Pharaoh a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could tell Pharaoh what the dream was except Joseph. All right. So Joseph, before he tells him what it is, he says, it's going to be God, not me, and he will give you a favorable answer. And then he is promoted to, Joseph is promoted to? Second in command, yes. Nobody is greater. In fact, Pharaoh gave him his ring. His signet ring. He could do whatever he wanted in there. He was second in command. His character shines in 50 and verse 20. Joseph's character shines. If you cut me off in traffic, I'm going to blow my horn and get up there and what?
Huh?
57, you said?
50 and verse 20.
Oh, wait a minute. Chapter verse 20?
50. Yeah, 50 and verse, chapter 50 and verse 20, he shines. You got it, Susan?
Oh, wait.
No, come on, read it.
You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done and saving up many lives.
Many lives. Those boys were scared stiff. You know, they said God's going to repay us for what we did to him. So,
now how does that have to do with you in the car? Somebody cutting you off.
I say getting even. Getting even. He didn't get even. He was merciful to them. He shines.
I thought you were going to tell us that you're very merciful in the road. Cut me off more often.
Blow my
horn. I believe in sign language, actually.
There's many more servants who showed great character in their obedience, carrying out the Lord's will in their life. Elijah confronted the king. Remember, he confronted him face to face, and the king had authority. What was the king's name? Ahab. He had authority to...
Elijah.
He's the one that said it didn't rain for 3 years, and the king is looking for him. And the king says, you're the guy that's troubling Israel. And Elijah said, no, you're the bird that's troubling Israel, And he could have killed him, but God is there. He says, you're the man. And then Nathan, who did Nathan confront? Oh, where is it?
Father.
What did I do with it? Oh, boy.
I'm talking about the...
Yeah, just a minute. I should have it here. It should be. but I don't. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Not a boy.
Remember?
The two sins.
Huh?
The two sins of...
Well, the first one, though, the first one with Bathsheba. Nathan confronted David and told him the story about the lamb. The guy had the lamb that he kept in his bosom, and the neighbor came over and took it and, you know, killed it, and he had a whole flock. And he points to David. You're the guy who did that. You took Bathsheba. David could have had his head plucked off too, but he didn't. But Nathan showed character in doing that. You know, he really showed character. So he confronts him. You're the man. In Hebrews chapter 11, 32, 40, you don't have to look there. 32 through 40, it talks about a lot more people, and he says many that didn't get their loved ones delivered. They were sold as under. They were, you know, they didn't. Some did and some didn't. There's a lot of them. So we can't have, you know, the same results for everything here. So, in 1 Samuel 13, 14, 1 Samuel 13, 14, that's Old Testament. Yeah, the Lord.
Wait a minute. 1 Samuel chapter
13.
Verse
14.
Okay.
Come on, Laura.
But now, thy kingdom shall not. The Lord has on heart, and the Lord has said, Captain, because thou that would.
Yes. He sought him a man after his own heart. David was called a man after God's own heart. He told Nathan, he says, I have sinned. In the 51st Psalm, he gives all of his repentance in that, if you'll read the 51st Psalm. He says, against you and you only have I sinned and done this wickedness in your sight. Again, in your sight, God is looking, but David is confessing there. But he told Nathan, I did it. You know, he had to pay the price. So, David's dad was named, starts with a J and ends with an E, has double S's in there.
Jesse.
He raised him right because he goes down and he encounters this giant of a troop. And the giant was Goliath. And he says, you come to me with swords and spears, but God is going to deliver you into my hand. He doesn't do this to war things. So all the earth, where is it said? It'll tell this. So all may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into my hands. So he let everybody know, and all the troops heard it on both sides, heard what he had to say. He's out there. So all the earth and all these people knows what this is going on. So for his bright and shiny moment, I think it's when he said, I did it. And he confesses. God wants people to use 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us partially.
Fully.
Of all unrighteousness, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1:9's got to be in your ticker tape. It's got to be there. You know, we just got to have that.
But stating it's going to be God beforehand is more so thanking God in advance for what he is about to do. So you got to be thankful.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's just that, you know, you don't accomplish anything on your own.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's thank you, Lord, before you do it.
In the book of Acts, it's primarily about Peter and Paul, yes. And they shine because they come up against, who do they come up against all the time?
The Jews.
The Jews and who else?
The Judaizers.
That, but who else? Who's the power to be?
The Pharisees.
The Pharisees, okay, we got that. Who else?
The
Romans, the ruling the people, all of the kings and the judges, they come before him. Peter says, they said to him, you're not to teach in this name. He says, you're going to have to determine what's right or wrong for yourself, but we can't help but talk about the Lord. And they suffered. They beat him, put him in jail. Paul was beaten and put in jail. You know, sometimes it was the authorities that did it, and sometimes it was the Jews and all these different branches of the Jews. But they shine forth like that. They willingly submitted to prison and beatings to proclaim the good news, the glorious gospel, that Christ is the Lord, and that He, saves all who believe. He does say, I know we're done early. It's 6:15. But
you can say some more if you want.
So I hope you've learned a little
very
bit.
Good.
And I've got 12 copies. I could give you mine. It's not stapled. But I could give you mine so it'll be 13. There's enough. I think there's enough for everybody if you want them. Because I still have it on my my computer. So if you'd like that later.
I'd love a copy.
You'd like to have it? Yes. There's a charge for you.
You're special.
She brought the best candy last week. She didn't bring any tonight.
I did not.
You did not? Okay.
What was it? What kind of candy was it?
It was like peanut butter chocolate. Yeah, it was good.
Right?
Buckeye, she called it. Buckeye. That's from the OH-10 state. That's from Ohio, OH-10. You know, the Buckeyes.
The ones that were here missed it.
Yes,
we missed it. We were in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Breathing.
Breathing.
Like,
oh, yeah.
So we'll have to ask Charlie about the gifts or the, what do you call them, offerings? Offerings or gifts. We'll have to ask Charlie and see if he can clear that up. I thought on the way here that I should have looked on his sermons back in Genesis 4 to see that. And it's too late then, you know. So, but anyway, he'll help us out. Won't you, Charlie? Won't you?
Okay. He had a flu, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know what he had.
He had a flu. It sounds just like the flu.
You know what he had?
He has a flu.
You didn't get a flu shot.
Yeah.
You didn't get a flu shot.
I did.
Was he sick before you got here?
I don't know. I just
from Germany?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, he was. So
it
you.
Wasn't me.
So you didn't.
Get the flu shot.
Now, how does he do this thing about telling everybody hello or goodbye? Well, we've got to pray first. We get to pray first.
Yep.
Okay. Jim, would you want to close this?
Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this session right now that we've had with Burke. Burke went different than Charlie usually does, but it's great to be able to flip through the Bible and see the continuity that is in the Old and New Testament and how these characters have all fallen into place genetically or just by action, which is all based on faith. Lord, give us the faith and the knowledge and the strength to be able to tell folks about Jesus and to poke holes in people who want to say that it's all a bunch of hooey and none of this is true. And I feel sorry for those folks. And Lord, we pray that they wake up and find out about you as time is a fleeting. And Lord, just bless all of us here at this church and watching online and the needs and wants that are on their particular lives. May they be answered through your perfect will. And may we all become stronger soldiers for you in these days to be able to loudly and clearly and concisely about your son Jesus on the cross and simple path through his blood and resurrection, salvation. And Lord, we pray all this in your son's holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
I will. I want to push the buttons. I'm a button pusher.
Yeah. Everybody, you're going to turn around
and wave.
Well, Pat's not here.
You just now noticed that?
Yeah, I just now noticed it.
Okay, what am I doing? Okay.
That their microphone's supposed to go.
It will.
There it is.
Okay, wave to the folks. Carol, wave to the folks.
Carol. I'm Charlie.
There you go.
Yeah. Cold weather.
Wait
until
I see you,
Charlie. All right, Sergio.
If you can.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Have you not been here for a while? You wouldn't realize that. Oh, I want to know her now. She's got so much hair. I just want to see her. I like that woman. She looks familiar.
I love her. She looks like one of me.
I'm going to go to the hospital.